So, Father, now I bow my head before you, asking you to release these words that bring life to my brothers and sisters and those who listen to us over the airwaves. Let there be peace in the hearts of those that listen and an understanding heart, in Jesus' name. I want to take you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's to preface that sometimes you read something and it jumps. And there's an awareness that God is stirring something in you when the words start coming to life and it brings new life. So that's my prayer, that St. Paul is writing to this church. And he's declaring, verse 2, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, how can he do that? Well, because first of all, when you have the Son within you, you have the grace and the peace of the Father in you. Because you can't separate the Son from the Father. And you can't separate the Father from the Son. So the Father and the Son is in you. Likewise. They're both operating on different wavelengths, if you wish. And their purpose is to bring you to maturity. Doesn't want to leave you like a baby forever. There's a season to be a child in God. But there's also a season to mature. And many people don't want to mature. They just want, for me, myself, and I, any baby that you guys know, whether male or female, they want their baba and they want it now. And when the diaper's wet, they cry. And that's what Christians do too. The only thing is, some of them are 20 and 30 years old in the Lord. And they're still doing the diaper and the baba. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Okay. Okay. And it's okay. We need to give them that option. If they want to stay there, that's their privilege. And we need to respect them. Verse 3 says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. So faith is designed to grow. And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. I want you to know, as I've watched this church, I've watched this particular fruit come to life in all of you. I see that love flow, flowing from one to the other. I see the comfort zones that are more and more easily visible to each other. Verse 4. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Now notice, he doesn't say you might endure. He says you're enduring. So those things that happen to you are not accidental. They are designed by God for you to mature and for you to grow into a new place in God, so that you're not always going to be that wah-wah child that needs a baba, or that somebody has to come and clean you up. Amen? Okay, so I know I'm using kind of difficult language, but I don't know of any person that didn't start off as a baby. So you all had that beginning. Somebody had to take care of you. And some of you have had your own, so you know what it's like to pick up after them. It was funny the other night, I'm driving home, and as I turn the corner towards my house, I see a bicycle on the edge of the sidewalk. I see the head helmet up on the street, and I have a flashback. How many know fathers have flashbacks, just like kids do? And it was my anger at my own sons when they left their junk in the driveway and I couldn't even pull in because everything was everywhere. And of course, they're sitting down ready to have their dinner, and guess where Dad is?
He's out in the driveway trying to get all the stuff out of the middle of the driveway so that he can drive the truck, or if I had the truck or the car, into the driveway so that I could come and have a couple of bites, because I haven't eaten most of the day. And that flashback said, do you remember? And boy, do I remember. Do you still have the anger? I says, Lord, it still wouldn't be fun.
So I'm not going to lie to the Lord, because he's reminding me, right? Are you still angry, son? No, I'm not still angry. But would you enjoy it? I don't think so. My expectations of what I teach somebody is still very similar when I want them to mature and I want them to grow up. Anybody else out there? Yeah. And you know what? They haven't learned the lesson yet. And you know what? The Lord told me, he says, I'm still putting up with you. See, I can be pretty mature over here, but in that other corner, I'm still a way. Got it? Okay. Lord, this isn't a fun message, but it's what you told me to give. You told me to open my mouth and you would fill it. And it's not all about Kim. It's about him. Oh, I needed an amen there.
Phew! But we're waiting for you to finish.
Verse 5, all this is evident that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. For which you are suffering. So the kingdom of God comes with?
Suffering.
Grind your teeth on that word. Sharpen them up a little bit. There is part of a Christian walk that includes suffering. And it hurts like hell. And it is a little bit of hell. And it's allowed by God. But out of that hardship comes what?
Growth.
Amen. Amen and amen. But it's also to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Ah, you're off the hook. You don't need to retaliate. You don't need to hit anybody behind the head. God will take care of the corrections. To those who trouble you, he will be in charge if you simply let it go. And it's not comfortable to let it go, is it? I want to do this correcting all myself. I know how to correct them. Yeah, you do, but you won't be so kind. Verse 7, and give relief to you who are troubled. So his job is ongoing. As the relief comes, you'll get to see what his mercy is like so you can do likewise. And to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed. Oh! You mean it's Christ Jesus, the anointed one, that gives you the courage to let go of somebody's irritation of you? This back talk that they've been given to you? This slandering of your name and your good intentions? Yeah. That's part of the kingdom. How many know somebody who's ever been mad at God? How many have ever been mad at God? Why? Because he didn't do it your way or my way. Amen? Or he didn't do it fast enough. He should have done this 3 years ago so I wouldn't have to suffer. But he let me stew in my... And I won't fill the blank. Cause self-pity in some books. Amen? I want to repeat verse 7. Give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in a blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God. Know should be knowledge, intimacy. Don't know him. Remember, there's a place where he said, oh, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't have a relationship with me. All you do is use me like a Santa Claus. I prayed about this and I better get what I wanted. And if my list is too short, God, I'll add more. And as soon as their list is starting to come before the Father, like a child, expecting, and they don't get it, they have a fit. And I'm not blaming them now, don't get me wrong. This is not a blame game. I've been there. I've lived there. And by golly, I expected, and I really meant it, but I didn't know I was a baby. I didn't know. Didn't understand it. Because, you know, we were taught, ask and you shall receive. And it was all these things that were given to us, and it was right. The only thing is, it was the wrong spirit. It was kind of a, you know, God's this great big papa, and you're a king's kid, so therefore you have a right to everything he has, and that's a truth. Okay? It's a truth. But it's taken out of context, because now you're full of trouble and anxiety and pressure and all kinds of difficulties and trials, and you can't understand why you're being punished. Did you ever get punished by your papa when you weren't guilty? And he just blamed you anyway? I can remember I had an accident one time when I was a boy, and my father blamed me, and I wasn't the guilty one, and the more I tried to explain, the harder he would just correct. And boy, oh boy, I was going to be right! And I was going to demand my rights, and the more I demanded my rights, the more I got whacked. Now come on, anybody else ever had that experience? It's a horrible experience. Because now you're being punished for something you didn't do. And I can remember the Holy Spirit saying to me one time, because I was still angry at God. Okay? That hadn't been healed yet at that time. And the Lord said, by the way, he suffered for your sin. And he wasn't guilty. So he can relate. Now will you forgive your father? And I debated for about a length of time. And the Lord was on my case. He said, are you in the garden making a decision? Meaning the garden of Gethsemane, the garden of decision. I said, yes, I am. Well, will you release it now? Will you release the hurt that you felt? Will you release the blame that you put on your earthly dad because it relates to your heavenly father, because they're both having the same type of concept? They are caregivers. Oh. So we put the whole thing in one package. So if you release your earthly father, your heavenly father will get the benefit as well as your earthly father. And as you freely give, you will also receive. So the struggle was quite short at that point, because the more he gave me information, the quicker I was able to forgive. And the decision was to let him go and let God heal him, because he was deceived. Later on, I found out that he had been wounded when he was a boy, and it was very similar for him. So he was still carrying some of the pain, and I didn't put any of that into the equation. When you get a little more mature, you put other pieces into the puzzle, and you get a little wiser on how and why you judge the way you do. So, I learned. Again, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels, he will punish those who do not know or have relationship with God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. And man from the majesty of his power. Isn't that odd that that message would be right in there, girl? Some people are asked to pray for power for the house of the Lord. But there is some that will be shut out from that power. They will never taste it because of their lack of respect for their Creator and their Heavenly Father. Verse 10. And I don't want you to miss this one because it's the most important verse. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. Say, Lord Jesus, there's a day coming.
Lord Jesus, there's a day coming.
Where you will be glorified in me.
Where you will be glorified in me.
As I qualify to be holy.
As I qualify to be holy.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
That has washed me clean.
That has washed me clean.
And I do believe that you will manifest your power through me.
That you will manifest your power through me.
And touch many around me.
And those elected
to come into the kingdom
will be witnessing the power
of the Holy Spirit inside of me.
Not just the neighbors, me.
Not just the other Holy One.
This one.
So there's a day he'll reveal himself inside of you and touch those that are unbelievers because of your obedience to have trials and difficulties and overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. So you see, there's a day of revelation that he's prepared. Now, you say, well, how can this be? Because many have already gone before into the heavens. They had their day as well. I'm going to go back to verse 10 again. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, this includes you because you believe our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that he, by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In you and in him. It's coordinated. It's harmony. It's like an orchestration, which I remember Gino used to say, did you ever listen to an orchestra pit that's just rehearsing before the great crescendos are being brought forth? And they sound like a pile of garbage. But when the commander comes out there and the director taps and he gets them all ready and they're all on page one, and the music begins. Wow. And there's a day coming in the body of Christ when God's going to go tap, tap, tap. And everyone will be tuned in. Not tuned in just to each other, but tuned in to the one that's directing the traffic and the flow from heaven is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's going to put you in tune. His timing will be perfect. And the transformation that's going to happen in the church when that day comes is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And
So the difficulties that you're working on right now to overcome, God's aware of them. He knows about those hardships. He knew St. Paul needed to write to the Thessalonians. I think he's writing to the house of prayer. Amen? If I asked every one of you to begin to declare your own hardships right now, one's recovering from surgery, another one may have to have some kind of work done on their knee. I mean, we've got some that are having a struggle with life. It's not something that's proud to say, oh my God, we're all in trouble. But we all have a test that we're in, and they're not comfortable. But God will deliver us out of all of them.
Make a way when it seems to be the way.
I was doing my exercises this morning, and that's exactly what started to come out. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I had the whole song early, but boy, my brain's disconnected tonight. He makes a way for you and me. He will. Oh, that's not right.
You'll
praise
have
God.
It, halfway home, it'll hit you right
there. Oh, yeah, then I'll be able to sing it. Yeah, because...
Don't call us at 2 a.m.
But inquiring minds want to know.
I think what more than anything else out of this message that the Lord was revealing to me was, you know, you see, the same has happened for 2,000 years. It's not changed. But we are closer now to the manifestation of the body of believers in harmony than we've ever been before. And it's not going to be the carnal church that's going to do it. It's going to be the spirit church. The spirit-filled church that is full of the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost is definitely in harmony with each other. And that's what I'm praying for. Lord, don't let us off the hook. Keep making sure that we develop our spirit more and more. Any additions? Yes?
You said that it's not a proud thing that we're all going through troubles. I don't think any of us are. It's our perception.
Yeah.
It's God showing us in a way that we know, that we would understand His mighty power.
Yes. But see, that questioning that goes through the brain and the process of that learning is not comfortable. That's what I'm trying to make everybody aware of. It is not comfortable when you're looking at the mess and the focus is on the problem rather than on the solution. Boy, I'll tell you, it is hard. And it's not something that is comfortable to say, oh, you know, I'm going through a trial and it's okay. You can say those words, but your heart sometimes weeps, and it's okay. There is weeping sometimes. Yes, dear. Yeah.
Because if you dwell on that situation and what you're going through, forget it, you're not going to get out of bed in the morning.
Uh-huh.
But if you look into what God is trying to show you through it and to trust in Him, and it makes the day so much easier.
I think it's the way that you complete the day when you do focus that He is in charge, and that, you know, it is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in your sight, even if you're not understanding. I used to pound on heaven's door for understanding. And one day the Lord said to me, can't you trust me without knowledge? Do I have to tell you everything? Yeah, but it was not comfortable. I wanted dates, timelines, etc. Come on, am I the only one that wanted all this stuff? Okay? And the Lord said, will you trust me? Will you give yourself totally to me? And you know, a few weeks ago, Peggy, that vision that you gave of me floating down that river was the gift of an answer to prayer. Okay? Just no worries about how He's going to do it. just knowing he's going to do it. And that was the beginning of, let's say, a new level. I believe that broke open a few weeks after Passover, when we had that one Sunday when there was a breakthrough. And I knew we had turned a corner. And a few days after that is when that vision came. And I knew. I said, Lord, I'm not reacting like I used to. I'm not asking for timelines. And I knew I wasn't. I was in trust. And it was a new level of trust. So I know I had kind of passed another hurdle, if you wish, another space of difficulty. And I had trusted that no matter what, he would take me through. And it was okay to go down the river. And it's perfectly okay. It's not a problem. And whatever he's got down the road, he'll give me the grace to go through it whenever I need to have it. It'll come. It will be there. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, for these and the ones that may listen to this, Lord, let them be receiving the grace that they need right now to go through the balance of the test, so that when the power is revealed in them, the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified. And all of God's people said, and amen.